Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December the 4th, 2025. 12:425, 15 minutes past the hour, and I am feeling all Christmassy now. It's beautiful here in the studio this morning, just about 80 degrees, and we got to talk with 94-year-old Pat Cook. I love doing that every year. I forget how we stumbled on that many years ago. Santa Claus, Indiana, only about 4 hours away from here. Send your letters, your kids' letters, your nieces and nephews, your grandkids, your kids, whatever it is, send a letter there, and they will get a letter back from Santa Claus. Don't forget to put a return address on there. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That program always puts me in the Christmas spirit. All right, let's go to the phones here this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, every day.
Can you? Okay, I just heard it, but I'm writing a letter to Santa.
Oh, good.
And I'm asking that we get a new mayor and administration and a city council that is not composed of not ready for primetime politicians.
Oh, well, yeah, it's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana. Now, this is the important part. The zip code, 47579.
47579. P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana.
Yeah, that's right. Just address it to Santa Claus, and as long as you get it out before the I think 18th, she said, you should get a letter back from Santa Claus. And when you get that letter back, you will have to read what Santa Claus's answer is to us here on the air.
I will have to do that.
And by the way, apparently postage is a little heavy there. They get somewhere between 20 and 30,000 letters every season. For anybody out there listening who would like to send a donation for postage for them, apparently you can send it to that same address.
It might not get through in time, but at any rate, I'm sure we'll get a response back, and we'll see what they say.
We'll wait for that for Christmas. That'll be great.
Well, hopefully, if we can get it before Christmas.
Well, they're very good about that. If you send it before the 18th, you'll get it back.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to send it. Thank you.
All right. Well, there's a letter going off to Santa asking for a new mayor and a new administration and so on and so forth. Well, I'm sure they've had crazier letters over the years, but it'll be interesting to see what Santa Claus has to say about all that. Now, the Fruitcake Toss is coming up December the 11th, 7 p.m., 1 week from today. How about that? The Industrial Channel will be providing Buckeye Donuts from the famous Buckeye Donuts in Columbus, Ohio. This is something you can't get in Marion. And talking about a sweet treat, this is a sweet treat. Now, here are the people. We have another entrant as of last night. We've got Chip, Bob Welsh, Mariah Rudolph, Amy Acton, Weslin Davis, Larry Barnett, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ralph Thacker, our first fruitcake champion, myself, Matt Morgan, Twyla Lang, Jason Schauber, Bill Collins, Jeff Ruth, Brian Murphy, last year's champion, Thaddeus Smith, Lois Fisher, Lowell Thurston, Naomi Craig, Terry Klein, Linda Sims, Sheriff Bales, President of the Y-Men, Ed Pickett, Miranda McGinnis, Mayor Kellogg, Martin Watts, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mike Augenstein, members of the fire department, and County Commissioner Kevin Davidson has been added to the list. Would you like to nominate anybody for Fruitcake Toss 2025? Feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. We did have calls about it last night on the answering machine. So if you've if you want to call somebody, if you want to remind somebody when it is, again, it's a week from today, December the 11th at 7 p.m. It will be held in the back of our building here, 685 Delaware Avenue. So don't miss this event. It is turning into a big event, and we will have the Buckeye Donuts from the famous Buckeye Donut Shop on campus in Columbus, Ohio. What else would Buckeyes have? Buckeyes here in the state during this particular event. We'll call them chestnuts on that night. And we thank the Industrial Channel for providing that treat. Now, will we have hot chocolate again? I have no idea. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, an update. Mike Augenstein is kind of iffy. He has family issues.
Okay.
Lois Fisher, she's going to make it next year. This year's pretty doubtful for her with that operation. So, and I'm going to try to get a hold of Lowell Thurston today.
Well, I'm trying to think of somebody else here who we have not got entered in this. Let's see here. Who would be who's somebody on your mind? One of these people who would be a great participant in this group?
Maybe, let me see if I can get a hold of Frank Gibson.
Oh, Frank Gibson. Yeah, he's been on the show. He'd be a good one. You know, Andy Apfelfeller has never been in it.
Mm-hmm. Ted Graham. Ted Graham, if we can get a hold of him, or yeah, if he's even in town.
Yeah, give Ted Graham a call. See how that works out.
That'd be great if Ted would show up and Lowell Thurston.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll put them on the list, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tomorrow.
All right. Now we have Ted Graham and Lowell Thurston on our list here for the Fruitcake Toss. And again, if you'd like to nominate somebody, just let us know and let them know. 740-383-9944. Now this year, I don't see anybody from the police department so far on this list. We have people from the, you know, nobody's nominated Tommy Reese. You know, he's about to leave his position as the treasurer of Marion City. Trying to think of some other people in the community. You never know, school board members, anybody, teams, your next door neighbor, could be anybody. Give us a buzz if you'd like to nominate somebody for the Fruitcake Toss. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will get them on the list. And even if they can't make it, we will leave them on the nomination list through next Thursday. And we'll just see what happens that night, you know? People show up. People don't show up. That's kind of the way it goes. 740-383-9944. But it is the event of the holiday season. Okay. So if you want to nominate somebody, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. But again, December the 11th, 7 p.m. right here at WGH Talk, 685 Delaware Avenue. And I don't know about the hot chocolate. I know the Industrial Channel is providing the Buckeye Donuts from Buckeye Donut in Columbus, Ohio. That will be great. The hot chocolate, I can't speak about that yet. We've had it the last 2 years. It's become kind of a tradition. But frankly, I don't know, because I do not want to put the pressure on anybody to produce the hot chocolate. We don't need any drama this year at the Fruitcake Toss. If somebody wants to do it out of the kindness of their heart, that's fine, but I don't want anybody thinking that I put the strong arm on them to bring the hot chocolate. So that's how that's all going to be handled. Okay, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, I'll tell you, we've had people calling about this budget issue in the city of Marion. And, you know, not only do we have a budget issue here in the city of Marion, but we have a $9 million deficit. Now, this is a little confusing because some people feel we don't have a $9 million deficit, and some people feel we do have a $9 million deficit. Now, here's what happened. The auditor of state came to Marion on, I believe they were here or they looked at some paperwork. I don't know what they did. But they decided as of October 31st that there were several accounts in the Marion City budget that were negative. And they were negative to the tune of about $9 million. Now, that's not next year's budget. That's this year. That needs to be made up before the end of the year. Now, does the city of Marion have $9 million to make this up? Now, some people have said that some accounts run negative and things are just that way and that's the way it goes. And I don't know. You know, I know last time we heard that the city budget was, or the city investment fund was somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million. So that's certainly not going to cover this $9 million deficit that we have this year. I don't know how we got a $9 million deficit this year. I wish somebody explained that to me. But, you know, here we are. We do have a $9 million deficit, and I'm not sure exactly how we explain this away at this particular point, because this is just city government. This is not national or state government. This is just city government. Does anybody have any thoughts on the $9 million deficit that the city of Marion has going out of 2025? You know, this is something that I think would have to be solved and dealt with by the end of the year. It's a very, very, very messy situation, as they say. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Feeling all Christmassy?
Okay. I'm feeling slightly more festive. We're getting there. Mariah Carey, I played her for the first time this morning.
All right.
And, you know, I'm really disappointed that I'm the only one of my friends that's posted it so far. Oh, she's got 830 million views on that video for a reason.
You know, some people say, see, when people protest that they don't like that song, I
too
tend
much
to believe that they do.
Yep, they're bumping it at home on repeat.
Well, they are, because I think you wouldn't complain that much if you really hated it.
I mean, clearly it's a catchy tune. Like I said, she wouldn't have 830 million views on the video.
No, she does.
She'll be hearing it Kroger.
Yes, she does very well with that song. And but I'm feeling all Christmassy because I talked to Santa Claus, Indiana, and I always think that's fun.
I heard some of that this morning. The man child did actually have testing. It didn't get canceled this morning, so I had to make sure he drove himself. So I'm having a moment, you know, to his own state standardized testing. So this is a big deal, but I had to make sure he got out the door fed and all that other stuff before. So I didn't get to all of the Christmas stuff, but I heard what you were just saying about the budget.
Oh, yes. But, well, this has been a point of contention for a lot of people.
The $9 million.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is it's not like there's a checking account sitting somewhere that's $9 million negative. So people shouldn't freak out, like, if we don't cover this money immediately, you know, people are going to lose their jobs and the city's going to catch fire. That's not what's going to happen. What has happened is in years past, we have overspent those funds. And where the money has came from, so that means we've had to take it from another fund or we've cashed in investments
right
to cover that spending.
Right.
What we will have to do is pay our investments back. So we are not, you know, like, we don't need to take, oh my gosh, you know, our $14 million budget, now we need to take $9 million and cover old bills. That's not how it's going to work. Sounds like the state's probably going to set us up on a payment plan to pay ourselves back, is what we're doing. We will be paying ourselves back.
Right, but now see,
that will mean cuts to current spending.
Well, but see, this is where it's confusing. And I think this is where people are getting confused. Okay, when people are saying,
it's confusing. I went to college to understand this, and I'm still grasping to make sure I get it all right now.
Okay, the state is saying, as of October 31st, there are,
13 funds that we have overspent,
yeah,
almost $9 million on. Between those 13 funds, we've overspent them $9 million.
Right, so as of the beginning of last month, there were 13 funds that were $9 million in the hole.
Which means we took $9 million from elsewhere to be able to overspend those accounts.
So those accounts actually are okay?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, streets aren't, I mean, we may have overspent it, But it's not like, okay, now we've got to shut down the streets department because we overspent it. No. We took that money from an investment or the library fund. We don't have a library fund, so I just made that up. Trying to be fictitious so nobody feels attacked here. You know, we took it from some other fund and spent it on whatever those 13 funds include. So say we took money from the library fund and put it towards the pool.
Okay.
Well, now we've got to pay the library fund back is what we've got to do.
Right. So, but how do you do that?
We cut spending currently and start making payments towards the library fund.
Right. But how do you cut spending when your budget...
That's how we got below $15 million. Amazingly, they came back last Monday below $15 million.
Okay, but that doesn't... Okay, now, I'm no accountant. I'm no accountant. But this is why it still doesn't make any sense to me. Because, okay, that budget that was proposed last Monday is for next year. That's so that nothing goes negative next year.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you've... Okay, that nearly $15 million... based on the revenues next year, which will allegedly be somewhere over $15
million,
that just evens up for 2026. That
makes a little bit of a buffer. There's about not quite $1 million buffer in there.
Right. Okay, so $1 million,
let's
say.
I was really astounded. Like, how do we go from a $5 million deficit to... I'd have to have a number in front of me. It's a couple $100,000.
Right. Okay.
Buffer.
So a couple $100,000 buffer. Okay, but you've got $9 million that you have to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
So even if your budget, now that's the 14, nearly $15 million is going to go just
it's about $600,000 buffer.
So you got $600,000 left over. So how is $600,000 going to pay back what we were negative
payments
this year?
Payments.
That's going to be a lot of years.
Yeah. We're going to be in this mess for a while.
Yeah, but I don't even understand.
And listen, I can't blame everyone that's sitting up there now. There's plenty of blame to go around. If you read the article today by Abby, I think it in the Marion Star, if you're able to, I think it helps break it down. We are basically running on the last, we have been running for the last five, well, from 2020, January 1st, 2020, until now, we have been running off of the last audited books from 2019. So imagine the last time you balanced your checkbook was December 31st, 2019, and you have been spending money ever since.
Right, I understand
that. And every time
it
just looked like it was about to overdraw, you just go dip into your savings to fix it.
Right, I get that. But you also, they have known what their savings is. We know at the end of 23 it was $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
We know that allegedly right now it's $5 million. So every time the Treasury Investment Board had to meet to divest some of that money, they may not have known that the books were correct, but they certainly knew how much were left in investments.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you keep doing that?
Why didn't someone sound the alarm like Jason Schauber suggested they do?
Yeah, but what, again, I don't, okay, here's, and God bless Abby, I had an email exchange with her yesterday, which was very pleasant. I think she's doing a good job.
Yes.
But I don't understand that logic, because, you know, this has become a much bigger issue in the last year and a half than it was prior to that. So when,
well, that's because the rubber has really hit the road here, and Scherzer did not spend endlessly like Collins has done. And that's the part, you know, your caller yesterday said that Twyla Lang and I get along, don't get along. And you know what? My big issue with her, I mean, how she decided she wanted to start speaking to me, and I just started reciprocating it, is that she is the finance chair, and it was pointed out to her for 2 years the spending has got to stop. And what did she do? She sat up there and told us to stop asking questions and rubber stamped every spending bill that came through and helped get us to where we are.
Okay,
these people were all sold as the solution to our problems, but all they did was went up there and spin us into the hole.
Okay, but let's get back to this $9 million deficit.
Okay. We're going to have to pay ourselves back.
Okay, but now here's the thing. Okay, let's say we're at a $9 million deficit right now. $9 million deficit. Now, we have $5 million in investments left.
Now, we cannot legally transfer. The state of Ohio said
okay,
we
so you can't even use
that money.
Can't use
no,
it.
No, we cannot use
okay,
that
okay, so forget that. So next year,
for other purposes.
Okay, so next year we have a budget that does come in balanced below what the revenue is projected to be. So let's just say that that's more or less even, give or take. Because we don't really know what the revenue is going to be, and
or if we owe the IRS money,
okay.
Or if
so let's just say
there are fines and penalties.
Next,
we don't know any of
right,
that.
Next year to run the city, it's even. Okay, let's just
say that even. Yep.
Okay, so if we're $9 million at a deficit now, and we can't use the investment funds, and we next year we'll have a balanced budget. Okay, if the and I'm just saying this, I'm not for sure, but let's say it's the transit department line item that's running negative. Well, okay, you can't pay that back with anything next year because you don't have any money.
I don't believe the state of Ohio will allow us to run negative in 2026.
Right. So how does that, where do you get that money to make that not negative? Where are you paying that back from? I mean, where do you get it to pay it back?
You mean, how do we start paying ourselves back?
Well, how do you get it? I mean, how do you cover the $9 million?
Cuts.
You cut?
Cuts. And that's why they said Wednesday that the state of Ohio may have put us on a payment plan. And what that would mean is that we will have to do more cuts to our budget to start paying ourselves back.
Yeah, but payment plan to who?
Ourselves. To those funds.
But what funds are we using?
So the 2026 monies that come in.
But we can't use that because that's budgeted for other things.
If the state of Ohio says to budget it to pay yourself back, you budget it to pay yourself back.
Well, okay, let's say we get even at the end of this year and we pay that $9 million out of what our revenues are next year.
We won't be able to pay it back in a year. This will be a long-term thing.
So do we? But I'm saying, where do we get $9 million between now and the end of the year?
We don't. That's not how this is going to work.
Okay, so where does it come from?
We will have to make cuts over the next so many years, raise revenues, and we will have to make cuts over so many years that this will be up to the state, the payment plan that they put us on, and we will have to quote-unquote pay ourselves back.
So are we negative right now, $9 million, or are we not?
In the eyes of the state, we are because we overspent those accounts.
Okay, so they're overspent.
So we still have money, yes. Are we allowed to use it to pay that $9 million? No. Who do we owe it to? Ourselves.
So we owe it to ourselves.
It's like the national debt. Who do we owe it to? I mean, everybody likes to say China is the biggest holder. No, the largest holder of the debt is the American people. This is why sewer funds are getting shut down, or sewer projects are getting shut down, and things like that. We don't have the money to spend like we thought we did. Because we've already spent it.
Well, no, I understand that, and I'm just trying to step through this here, because, again, I'm no accountant.
People don't need to freak out that we're going to have to, take out a loan on City Hall to pay this $9 million back, or the state of Ohio is going to shut us down. That's just, we're going to have to pay ourselves back.
Okay, but from where?
That we're going to make over the next few years, and
But we don't
dollars
have...
Dollars to dimes, that sewer bills are going up, and the income tax... credit is going away.
Okay. Let's say they raise money through that. Let's say they raise money through income tax raising that number, and they raise money through sanitation, and that's how they use this. That's what they use to start paying this back. Where are they getting the money now that they're paying back? Where's that coming from?
We're not paying anything back. So, our sewer funds and things like that, I'm going to mention the fire department fund only because people will understand that one. Money set aside for a certain purpose. It's there. We can't touch it. But we consider it part of the money that we have. You know what I mean? I've got a checking account. I'm saving for a roof. That money's over there. I'm not touching it. But it's part of my net worth, you know? We also have funds like that for the sewer and sewer projects and things like that.
Right.
All the money that's supposed to be in those funds, we have overspent. So we will now need to pay those long-term accounts. We will need to restore them.
But
so
we keep hearing that there is money in those accounts, that the money for the sewer project...
Not the ones that are running negative. The 13 that are negative, there is not money, excess money in those accounts. We have overspent them. We have dipped into those accounts and spent them on other things, or we have dipped into other accounts and spent them on those things, but there is not the money in those accounts like there
okay,
should be.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying, then, is where... again...
That would be the explaining, because, hey, Tacy Courtright is said to have used $4 million in... short-term investments to pay back some of these funds last year. So would that really mean that we were $13 million short these funds? So there's just questions upon questions upon questions that they won't answer.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if again, I'm just trying to pick a department that has employees. Let's say right now that I'm trying to pick one that's less controversial. Let's say the police department. Okay. Well, I don't want to say transit because I really don't know what's happening in transit. I don't know if there's going to...
No one does. And that's the thing. They say there's cuts. Okay, what are those cuts?
Okay, let's say...
Parlay them to us.
Okay, let's say the police department line item right now, as of October 31st, when the state looked at this, is negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's negative. So, how do you make that whole? Where do you get that money from?
Paying ourselves back. I mean, but
right,
one thing they cut this year was equipment. They spend a lot of money on equipment and overtime. And a big issue with them is that they spend money and don't get appropriations. And they spend money way over their appropriations and don't come back and ask for more.
So did they get the money to pay these 13 line items to make them whole that they're going to pay back? What are they paying back?
The money that we overspent.
Right.
Okay, so apparently if a bill came up there, they just paid it. It didn't matter
right.
if there was an
gotcha.
Appropriation for it or not. They just paid it.
But where'd that money come from? It has to come from somewhere.
We would start selling investments.
Right, so is that how we got down to $5 million in
yes.
investments?
Yes.
So that's what this is.
They said Courtright spent $4 million last year in investments paying some of these funds back.
Okay, so the truth of the matter...
Remember when Colin said what we had to pay Churchill's bills or whatever? And
right.
The Marion Star now says that they spent $4 million of that paying funds back. So now I'm going to ask which funds we reimbursed $4 million.
So basically the $9 million was investment money that they spent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they were not supposed to use investment money.
Correct. That would be why we don't have a legal way to cover it, because it sounds like we already used money that we weren't supposed to use.
Okay, so funds were misused to cover...
I'm not going to say misused. I'm going to say overspent.
But
I don't know. I don't know where the money, what funds they came from, and I'm not going to start accusing people of felonies, but they spent more money than they had in those funds.
Well, didn't council have to appropriate this money?
Yeah, but they didn't know what they had to take the auditor's word for it. And remember, we're just got done through our 2021 audit. So these are where all these glaring issues are coming, but they're also coming and getting the state of Ohio said that $9 million might be wrong because we're just kind of guessing.
But here's the thing. No matter what the auditor has done, the numbers are wrong. We've got it. They've been wrong since 2019. We know that part of the story. That
mm-hmm.
is not a hidden fact. That has been reported on for a long time.
So when I, as the auditor, tell you I'm expecting Marion to bring in $15 million this year, and you say, okay, so then we're good to pass a $17 million budget and use $2 million worth of carryover. Because we think we have $17 million worth of carryover.
But I don't think she thought that. Because the money in that account, we knew was $17 million when Schertzer started,
mm-hmm.
or left. We knew that it was dwindling down. Everybody on the Treasury Investment Board knew that, including the mayor, the auditor, the treasurer, the law director, the budget director. So
if you're not getting a good audit, though, you don't know where...
Well, how did anybody know then?
Where things are being overspent, this would come back to having an auditor that knows what they're doing, because the way that the system works is you put in how much money is appropriated for that line.
Yeah, I got that.
You pay it out of that, and once it's out of money, you're supposed to stop paying bills out of that and you're supposed to go say, hey, if you guys want this, you're going to have to appropriate more money for it.
Right.
They aren't doing that.
I understand that, but my, I guess my point is,
I can't explain it. And
well,
if
it doesn't make any sense.
And I look at these reports, like when you don't have any financial reports or anything to compare any of this stuff to, you just kind of look at it.
Doesn't the department head know what they asked for and what they're spending? Forget the auditor's office. The auditor might have paid it because they're not sure what's
Shouldn't
in that line.
Doesn't the budget director know what every department has
exactly.
spent up to this point?
Exactly.
I mean, to the penny.
Regardless of what the auditor is dispensing and what she knows is in each line item, if you know what was appropriated to your department, you know when you go over that number. So
you should.
Right. Well, I would hope you would.
You should, yes.
Because you're going to have to go to city council for another appropriation.
Well,
I've never heard...
department heads would, but how many inexperienced department heads
But that's what I'm saying. I never saw transit come back for another appropriation. Now,
they didn't even ask for more money for party bus spares, and we know it had to cost more money.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand... how that happened without an appropriation.
How does council allow that to happen?
Well, they jump up and down when Martin Watts pays a bill out of step, but they don't... none of them suspect
it. The entire bus line is fine, and we better not have any words in there that hurts the mayor's feelings when we talk about it.
I don't understand that. I honest to God, do not understand how that happened. It never came back for an appropriation, and money was just... But boy, we can have legislation written up ridiculing the auditor, and we can really ram into that Martin Watts paid this bill without having appropriation to pay it. Well, what about the transit department? We know more money's been spent there.
Hey, I've been hollering it for a year, and I was called Negative Nelly and had meetings organized around me, and my face was...
Yeah, but I'm talking about city council. What they are paid. Yeah, but I haven't heard one of them say that. I haven't heard Ayers say that. He's the one who apparently wrote that legislation ridiculing the auditor. I've never seen him come up with legislation ridiculing the mayor or the transit department.
No, he has not.
So where's that?
Is it moot at this point? I don't think we should have any kind of legislation like that, accusing people of felonies, because all we did was mark down on paper now that we know that felonies have happened and we have not done anything, or we know. They're accusing people of felonies. If you really believe the woman has committed felonies, why haven't you taken the steps to remove her from office? Why has our law director not taken the steps? Why has our prosecutor not taken the steps? It takes what?
Elected officials
to sign a petition?
There was a full city council meeting on Monday night, and every one of those city council members knew darn well that there was a $9 million deficit in 13 funds in the city, and I didn't hear one council member ask about any of that.
No.
None.
You know why? There was a room full of firefighters they didn't want to have to explain a bunch of stuff to.
Well, the week before, they all knew about it. Week before, none of
them
asked anything.
No. Nobody has mentioned the audit. And the 2021 audit came up, and she skimmed over it so fast that she got to the next question, because I was going to say, hey, are we going to talk about the 2021 audit?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Clerk, I told you to take that off of the agenda.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, fine, take it off the agenda. Any city council member can ask a question. And you know what? Here's the problem. The problem is Ayers and Aaron voted against the budget. So the budget still is stuck in committee, and it's not going to go anywhere unless they try
to
add it.
In fairness to them, they had about 6 minutes to look at a budget that they expected to pass.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if nobody can even ask what line items are negative and how we got to $9 million in negative line items, and we shouldn't even be talking about next year's budget yet until somebody gets an answer to that. But will anybody ask it who's a member of council, who's getting paid, who actually has a vote on passing this budget? Probably not. And that's how we got to where we are.
And wait till next year, because it's going to be even worse, because the institutional knowledge that we have will be disappearing.
Yeah, but you know what? Unfortunately, Jason has made some mention of it. But other than that, where's the mention been made? I mean, where's the questions come from?
Valid point. I guess we just see what happens, because the state was here yesterday, and I see further cuts coming, but they could allow us to buy with what we came up with. We'll see.
So we'll see what happens. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And, you know, again, we talk a lot about the mayor, and it's because the mayor is the head of the city, but what is council doing at this point? You know, has anybody asked about the audit, the report that came from the state auditor about all of this? I don't understand why nobody even asks the question. You know, you might not be able to pass anything. You might not be able to get anything done, but somebody might want to know the answers to some of these questions. In any event, the phone line is open. It's 740-383-9944. And you know what? Maybe they have their own reasons for this. I don't know. Maybe they do. And I guess that's how it all shakes out in the end, if nothing else. Go ahead, caller.
It's me, Scott.
Hey, Judy. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. It's kind of cold out there.
It is. It's going to be colder tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I just listened a little bit, so all these departments have all this trouble. Well, why don't they keep in their own department? Nobody takes out of another department. And don't they have a rainy day fund where they get several hundred thousands or something? And then I don't know why the mayor has to approve things, the department head and the auditor, if they all get together and okay something. But the taxes go for schools and roads and different stuff. I don't know. At the end of the year, they shouldn't buy anything that they don't really need and stuff, but they shouldn't be dipping in other funds, because one might have trouble or two, and then they're dipping in all these other funds causing them to have trouble.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is that there was essentially a rainy day fund. It's called the investment fund. And when Schertzer left, there was $17 million in that fund. Now, but now, in the last year and a half, somehow it got down to $5 million because it's been spent on other things to make up differences in bills.
What can they spend that on?
Well, that's the question. Departments that have overspent, possibly, new positions that have been created within the city. Nobody really knows where this all went. And then,
see, that's what I don't like about stuff. Like, if you give money overseas and you want to go to feed the poor people and stuff, well, they spent it for guns. And I don't think the United States should give a penny to anything and send somebody over there that gives some money out themselves, not just throw it at a country and then you just go spend it, because it's our tax dollars. I think they should send somebody over, and if that country needs food or something, instead of spending it for guns and people starving. But, well, I can't believe that.
Well, that's
so they have 17 million?
Yeah, the difference is most of those countries you would send money to are private entities. The city is not a private entity. The city council should be appropriating these funds. And for some reason, that did not happen in a lot of cases. So why were they not told? Why did the auditor of the state have to come down here and lay this on everybody? I don't know. We don't have the answers, because nobody seems to want to answer those questions. But we do know that every department, well, a lot of departments are going to take a 10% cut. We do know that the Aquatic Center is going from $300,000 to $100,000. I don't know how you operate that. We know that cutting the tall grass next year is down to a zero balance. Is anybody going to do that? Doesn't sound like it. We know that the economic development position has been taken off the table for next year. We know that downtown Marion has been defunded by the city. We know that all these things have happened.
Well, I know one, their taxes for the real estate taxes is $300 million in a hole, and it's a bigger state. And they took all that and used it for, you know, not the schools and stuff. They used it for taking trips and their own personal stuff. But I know Marion doesn't do that kind of stuff. They just, like it was their own money just to, you know, do whatever they wanted with. So people, I don't know, understand why the department head should be pretty good at doing that, but why it doesn't have to go through a couple other people, like the mayor has to okay it, the auditor, maybe somebody else and stuff, because I can't believe it's that much and they don't know where it is.
Well, nobody knows and nobody's made any attempt to figure out as of yet. I don't know. Maybe city council will do something Monday. It's a full city council meeting Monday night. I guess we'll see what happens.
Because a couple years ago, I know they were having a lot of trouble and everything, and you know, and stuff, and I don't know that much about it, just what I listened here a couple of times and stuff. But, Scott, when's your fruitcake toss going to be?
Next Thursday, December the 11th at 7 o'clock here at the station, 685 Delaware Avenue.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Well, I'll listen here and see, but that I just can't believe that.
Yeah, we'll see if anybody's got an answer. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Glad to have our good friend Judy out there. She's always been a big proponent of the fruitcake toss. And remember, you can nominate anybody. December the 11th, 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue. We've got a lot of people in it already, and the more the merrier. Just tell them when and where it is, as it would go. Go ahead, caller.
Loving your city.
Oh, yes. Any thoughts in the last few minutes here?
Here's something, you know, with the noxious weeds and the tall grasses and unkept homes. Here's a novel idea. Charlie Evers and I, when we had the community garden, we were fortunate that municipal court allowed people with fines to work those fines off by helping get the community garden squared away and ready to be opened. Now, that's an opportunity for people with fines to work them off, go around cutting weeds down, mowing unkept properties, etc.
Well, maybe. You never know.
Maybe. Hey, the judge was kind enough to allow us those individuals for the garden, and it could be a very good solution for that ordinance and keeping it going.
We'll see what happens.
Also, you know, I thought that the city of Marion was getting $600,000 a year for the lease of the hospital. I've been corrected. It's $400,000. So I'm assuming that that's the same amount that the county gets, since it's a city-county-owned hospital. Somebody needs to look into breaking that lease to getting something that's more equitable than $400,000 or $800,000 a year, you know?
Well, I think going through that lease the first time was very difficult. And I
it's an illegal lease. It was a 31-year lease. You're not allowed to go beyond 30.
Well,
and Mayor Schertzer even went to an attorney to ask him if they could get out of that lease.
I don't think the city's got the money for a lawyer right now. I really don't think they want to get in a tangle with Ohio Health.
Well, what do we have Mark Russell for?
I don't think that would be enough for that case, for Ohio Health's attorneys.
Well, you never know. For crying out loud, if they're such a caring, faithful, based organization in our community, why don't they be more Christian-like?
But we'll see. Thank you. Do want to remind everybody, Voice of a People with Linda Sims will be on today, 10:15 till 12 p.m. So stay tuned and talk to Linda. Adam the Computer Guy today, 12:15 until 1 p.m. Don't miss those programs. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you want to nominate somebody for the fruitcake toss, you certainly can do that. or voice your opinion on anything else going on in the world as we have it today. 740-383-9944. Well, I certainly do want to thank Mrs. Pat Koch from Santa Claus, Indiana, for coming on this morning. Remember, if your kids want to send a letter to Santa Claus, it's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. 30 seconds left. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Are we supposed to be getting a new fire truck this year?
I know there's been talk of something like that. I'm not sure if it was this year or next.
Oh, I was just questioning.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd stir the soup.
I would have to see a budget and see what they've got budgeted. I know there was talk of a new fire truck at one point, but I'm not sure.
I thought they'd already ordered it.
They might have.
Well, get on top of it, Scott.
We'll see what we can come up with tomorrow.
Right,
thank
bye.
You. Bye-bye. All right. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
TV series Hee Haw, Lulu Roman reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"Twas the Night Before Christmas" when all through the house.